Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you have your Bible, stand to your feet. Well, grab your Bible, stand to your feet. And turn with me to Exodus, the 15th chapter. We're going to read Exodus 15, verses 22 through 27. This is an account in the lives of the children of Israel after they've been delivered out of Egypt through God's hand being upon the life of Moses, who he ordained to be a deliverer for his people. And they came out of Egypt. They went through the Red Sea. They crossed upon dry ground. Their enemies, they saw them washed away in the waves. And then they come into a wilderness and their 3 days journey, and they have nothing to drink. And this is where we find them in Exodus chapter 15. This is right on the heels of them crossing through the Red Sea. And this is what happens. After Moses and Miriam, they sing these great songs of praise. Then all of a sudden it says in verse 22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness, and they found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. So it wasn't called Marah until they found the bitter water. And we'll talk about that later. Why? And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And Moses said, that sounds like a personal problem. No. Verse 25. So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he, capital H, God, made a statue and an ordinance for them. So Moses did not make this statue or ordinance. This is made by God. So this is God speaking. And there he tested them. And this is what he said. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and you do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commands, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on which I have brought on the Egyptians on you, for I am the Lord who heals you. Or in Hebrew, it would say, for I am Jehovah Rapha, which we sang earlier, the Lord who heals your body. Verse 27, then they came to Elim. There were 12 wells of water. There were 12 tribes of Israel. There's 12 wells of water. God led them to the place where there was enough for every single tribe to drink from. And there were 70 palm trees. There was shade for them, so they camped there by the waters. Let's pray today. Father, I thank you so much for your faithfulness and for your goodness. I thank you for your word. And I pray that today as we look to it, that you would instruct us, guide us, help us to know that you are speaking not just to this body corporately, but you're speaking to each and every one of us individually. And I pray that this word would take deep root in our heart. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. Before we get into the word, Logan, would you come up here, brother? Some of our children are going to camp this week. Up in Tennessee, and it's going to be an experience. They leave tomorrow morning, and Logan leads our young people, and they actually have a fundraiser that's going on in the back after church. You can buy some baked goods. There's pre-priced items, and then there's an auction that will be going after service as well. And I saw a sopapilla cheesecake, a Butterfinger something, pineapple upside down cake. There's some delicious looking stuff back there you don't want to miss. And so please help our children get to camp. But there's how many churches are involved in this? Five or six different churches are going to be there. It's going to be an awesome, awesome camp. But I want to pray over, Logan's going to stand in for the children that are going and for the children also that are coming from other churches. And so would you join with me? We want to pray for them. We believe in the power of prayer. And so we want to speak a blessing over them. We already prayed over him in pre-service prayer. But as the body of Christ, I want us to have the opportunity to pray over them together. So if you're comfortable, reach your hands this way. Bow your heads with me in prayer. Father, I pray not just for Logan, but for all the leaders of the camp. Father, I pray for every student that is going to be there. And God, I ask that they would hear your voice clearly. I pray that they would have experiences, and not just experiences, but encounters with you. God, that these children would come to know God is real, God loves me, God has a plan for my life. I pray that they would hear you call to them clearly. God, we pray for each and every one of them to be divinely impacted by the power of God. We believe you still work, you still speak, and God, we believe that you care as for these little ones as much as you do for us. You said, let the little children come to me. God, I say, let the little children come to you this week. Let them come and draw them in their hearts. God, I pray for protection. I pray that there would be no ill intent of the enemy that would be able to take place, but we put a hedge of protection around that camp. No injuries, God. No wrongdoings against children, God. But I thank you that you're going to give wisdom to the camp counselors and leaders. God, I pray that there would be no food poisoning. I pray there'd be no falling down and breaking bones. But God, we just plead the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that they would be divinely impacted by the power of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pray for them, please, this week as they're at camp. Two of my boys are going to be there. It's going to be Bethel's first time really being away from home. He's 8 years old. And so pray for him and pray for his mother that they would make it through this week. But I'm excited for them. And don't forget to pick up something from the bake sale afterwards to help them get to camp. Thank you so much for your generosity. So I want to talk to you today on the topic, I can see clearly now the pain is gone. Okay, so as soon as I said that, everybody had it in your head. I can see clearly now, the pain is gone. Say pain with me this time. You ready? Okay, we're going to have a little choir practice. You ready? I can see clearly now, the pain is gone. Now, if you can sing harmony, sing harmony. You ready? I want to see if we can do it. I can see clearly now, the pain is gone. I heard a few harmonies in there. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to give you a visual aid, and we'll get to our text that we talked about in just a moment. But when you are born, when every single person is born, you come out like this glass, completely empty. You're a child, you have a blank slate, you've never done anything wrong, and you've never had anything wrong done to you. This is how every single one of us are born. Now, we're all born with a flawed sin nature. Eventually, we're going to mess it up, but this is how we come out. We all come out, and in fact, did you know that babies do not blink? Did you know that until babies get to a certain age, you can flash your hand in front of their face, and they won't even blink? Do you know why babies don't blink? Because they've never experienced pain. Do you know why you blink? Because you know if that hand hits me, it's going to hurt. Babies don't blink. You know why? Because the Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear. So that means you're not born with fear. You learn fear. You're not born with pain. You learn and experience what pain feels like. And so babies, they don't understand that. They're not scared of falling. They're not scared that you're going to hit them because they've never been hit and they've never fallen because they've never encountered or experienced pain. And so we all come out like this where we are completely empty. We've never experienced pain. We've never bumped our nose. We've never broken a bone. We've never gotten a scratch. We've never gotten a burn. That's why you have to teach your children, don't touch the stove because it will burn you. Because they don't understand. They don't have that knowledge that that's going to bring pain in my life. And so no person in the existence of mankind from the very beginning to today and the millions and billions of people that have lived, no one has ever been exempt from experiencing pain. Even Jesus encountered pain. Every single person that's ever walked on this earth, that was ever born through a woman, has experienced and encountered pain. They've encountered physical pain. Maybe you have some kind of pain in your life right now. Maybe I've got a scratch on my arm, and I didn't know it until I got in the shower this morning and that hot water hit it. You know what I'm talking about? Or have you ever put on hand sanitizer and you didn't know there was a cut on your hand until you tried to use the hand sanitizer? We experience physical pain. Maybe you know someone that they've experienced an accident, or they've gotten an illness, or there's just something that's bothering their body. We experience that physical pain. That's a part of life. There's also emotional pain that comes from many different sources, many different things, and nobody is exempt from experiencing physical and emotional pain. And until we get to heaven, guess what? Pain will always be a part of life. There's nothing that you can do to stop pain. It's going to happen. People are going to let you down. You're gonna stub your toe. There's going to be pain. But in fact, the Bible says that pain will be no more in heaven. That's one of the joys of getting to heaven. And I don't want to by any means belittle what you've gone through in your life. I'm sure that every single person, you've experienced some kind of pain, some kind of trauma, some kind of difficulty. You've lost someone, you've lost something, and things have happened in your life to cause pain. I don't want to belittle it, but I do want to do this. I want you to make you aware of this. You are not alone in your pain. Amen. The person next to you, the person in front of you, the person behind you, every person who's ever lived has experienced trauma, some form of pain. And obviously there's different degrees of pain. Right? Like stubbing your toe is not the same thing as getting in a severe car accident. Losing, you know, your job, it hurts, but it's not like losing a spouse or losing another loved one. There's degrees of pain, physical pain and emotionally pain. But what happens in life is we're born like this, but because we live in a world that since Adam and Eve took the fruit in the garden and sin entered the world, then as we are born and as we grow, things happen to us. Maybe there's a parent that they were mean to you, they abused you, they spoke down to you, they never encouraged you, but in fact, they degraded you, they called you stupid, they told you you'd never amount to anything, or maybe they just didn't say they loved you at all. Maybe they weren't abusive in their words, but they weren't free with saying, I love you, I'm proud of you, you're gonna do great, you're gonna do awesome. Maybe they didn't show up to any of your baseball games. And you know what that does as a child? It hurts, and it brings pain. Every time a parent or a sibling or a friend, maybe you went to school and you got made fun of, and it adds pain to your life, and it hurts, and it stinks. And then you get a little bit older, and you graduate high school, you graduate college, or maybe at college you meet someone, and you fall in love with them, and you think they're the most amazing or beautiful or handsome or perfect person in the world, but you know what they do? They break your heart, and they break up with you. And that hurts. That's painful. And so pain begins to just be there in your heart, and it's sitting there, and it's beginning to cloud the way that you view life. And we'll talk about this a little bit more lately. But maybe you keep going, and then all of a sudden you get this job, and it's a good job, and it's a good paying job, but then the economy takes a bad turn, and they have to fire you. You know what? That hurts. That stinks. That's pain in your life. Or maybe you got fired, or maybe you got lied on at work, and because someone lied on you, you lost your job. Or maybe your spouse cheated on you. You know what? That hurts really bad. Maybe you lost someone that you love. You were in love with your child or with your spouse, or you lost a sibling, or you lost a parent. I remember when I lost my grandfather, I remember the pain that brought in my life. He didn't do anything wrong to me, but it still hurt. So pain comes in different forms and it comes in different ways. But eventually, we all get to the place where after years and years and years, from childhood on, pain just keeps coming. In physical, in emotional, in mental ways. It could be one little word, but you know what? It adds to it. Someone just says one offhand comment to you, but you know what? It hurts. You know, people say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And we all know that is an absolute lie. It does hurt. That's why the Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. But you know what? Some people, they're just speaking death into you all the time. Death, death, death. And you know what it does? It begins to add up, and it hurts. It stinks. And then you lose a job. You lose a loved one, and it just gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. And so what happens is because we all experience this, I'm not exempt from it, you're not exempt from it. We all have pain. And because it continues to come in our life, you know what we do? We go on an exploration of trying to find something to cure the pain. Because everybody's experienced it, and nobody likes pain. No one's like, sign me up to lose someone that I love. Sign me up to be cheated on, to be lied on, to be let down, to be disappointed. Sign me up to get fired. Sign me up to lose this or to lose that. Nobody likes it. So what we do is we begin to try to find ways to ease and to cure the pain. And we find another relationship. And maybe you're like, I'm gonna find it in sex. And so we say, I'm going to find it in the opposite sex, or I'm going to find it in some other way. Or you know what? I'm going to use alcohol to numb the pain. And so we try alcohol, And you know what? Doesn't change the pain at all. So we're like, well, I'll try something stronger. I'll try drugs. You know what it does? It adds to the pain. Has the pain changed colors at all? It still stinks. It's still there. But we keep trying. And so we try success. And we try money. And we try being liked. And we try all of these things. But you know what we end up doing? It feels good for a while when you get that high from drinking or from drugs or from that relationship. But you know all it does is it adds to the pain. It numbs it for a while, but eventually the high wears off. But you know what stays? The pain. The good feeling lasts for a little bit, but we're still left with a heart that is aching and is full of pain. And sadly, even many Christians, you sitting here today, are living with debilitating pain in your life. That emptiness that Madison was talking about. Where we can't see clearly because there's pain. And we're constantly trying to figure out, how do I get rid of this? And I know that God is the answer. That's why I became a Christian. But I still feel pain. I'm still hurt. That pastor hurt me. My spouse hurt me. My boss hurt me. My parents hurt me. And we're like, how do I get rid of it? Well, in Exodus chapter 15, after the children of Israel are walking through the wilderness and they are supposed to be on their way to a promised land, but instead they find themselves in a wilderness with nothing to drink. And they're frustrated after 3 days. Let me tell you, after 3 days of nothing to drink, you'd be pretty frustrated too. You'd be pretty upset and wondering, why did we leave a place that even though we had to work, at least we had enough to eat? At least we had enough to drink. And so they begin to complain against Moses. And they say, what do you expect us to drink? So Moses, he prays. And God shows him a tree. Now that sounds very random, sounds weird, but it's not at all. It's actually very symbolic. Because the Bible also says later in the law, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. When Jesus went to Calvary and he was on the cross, he was hung on a tree and he became the curse for us. Why? So that all the pain and all the suffering and all the hurt that we have endured could be taken away from our life. And so he shows him a tree and he takes that tree and he throws it into the water. Now they're in a place where they call it Marah because the Hebrew word Marah means bitter, okay? Or bitterness. Now, let me ask you this. How or why do people get bitter? You ever known a bitter person? You ever been a bitter person? A lot less honesty on that one, probably. We've all felt bitterness. We've all acted in bitterness. And we've all been the recipients of people who were bitter. Why do people get bitter? Because of pain. Because pain comes in their life. And it produces bitterness. And so they're in this place where the water is bitter. And what happens in our life is because of all this pain, then comes along another, maybe a spouse or maybe a child that we have, or maybe it's a coworker. And you know what we do? Because hurt people, we affect them. And so now we have generation after generation after generation of walking in bitterness, and there hasn't been a true conversion and a changing. And maybe we prayed a prayer and we got saved and we're not going to hell anymore. We're going to heaven, but there's still pain in our life. There's still suffering. There's still heartache and there's still hurt. And so we just pour into other people because hurt people hurt people. So what happens is someone hurt them. Maybe it was a mom that was abusive, or it was a dad that was an addict, or it was someone that, you know, they fell in love with them and they broke their heart into a million pieces. And then that bitterness, that pain gets transferred into the life of somebody else. And you know what? I thought about this yesterday. You never know what someone else has been through. And that's reason enough to be kind to everybody. Sometimes we want to judge people for pouring hurt inside of us, but we don't know what caused the hurt inside of them. It doesn't justify it, but that's reason enough to be kind. Because us responding in hurt to them, you know what it's doing? It's multiplying the hurt and it's multiplying the bitterness and it's not helping anybody. So you don't want to be the hurt person that hurts people. So I encourage you, let go of your pain. Because you know, that's why I say I can see clearly now, the pain is gone. Because you know what pain does? Before I poured from this cup to this cup, I could see clearly through the water, right? Now, if I tried to look at you through this, I can't see it. Why? Because pain has clouded my vision. It obstructs your destiny. It hinders you from being who God called you and created you to be. So you can't see through it. And I want you to know this today. If you do not allow God to bring healing into your life for the pain that you have endured, you will begin to see everything through the pain of your pain. You know, like window panes, P-A-N-E? And if you do not allow God to heal you, you will view everything this way. And when you view everything this way, you have no vision, you have no clarity, and you will hurt people because you're viewing everything. Even if people are being completely nice and they are pure in their intentions and they want to pour love into you, all you can see it as is more pain. Maybe you marry somebody and they love you to the nth degree, and they're trying to encourage you, but because you've been abused sexually, emotionally, physically, all you can see their love as is pain. Even though they have pure intentions, because you begin to see everything through the pains of your pain. And because I've been hurt, and until you allow God to put the tree in the water and turn the bitterness into a place of sweetness, you will hurt other people. Because you'll pour back into them what they've poured into you. Mom and dad hurt me, well, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to hurt them. Maybe not intentionally, but it happens because you can only pour out of you what's inside of you. And so the waters were made sweet, and God spoke a promise. He made a statue. He made an ordinance to them. And this is what he said. He said, if you will diligently heed the voice of God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases that were on the Egyptians, on you. What's he saying? They just walked through a time where they saw 10 plagues riddle the Egyptian people to the point where Pharaoh finally said, okay, fine, because you killed my firstborn son, I will finally let you go. The frogs didn't do it. The boils didn't do it. The death of the cattle didn't do it. The rivers turned to blood didn't do it. And they knew and they saw what God did to the Egyptians, the darkness, all this stuff. And God's saying, I'm making you a promise today, Israel. If you will follow me, if you will listen to me, the pain that I made Egypt walk through, I won't put it on you. Because I am Jehovah Rapha, meaning I am the God who heals. And that word heals means I'm the God who restores. See, here's the thing, is we want to think about healing in a very singular point of view. But what he's saying is, I will restore you. Anything that the enemy has taken from you, anything that pain has brought in your life, I can restore it. I can make it better. I'm the God who can bring it back to the place where it's as good, if not better, than it ever was before. And I want you to know this. We do not serve a God who is uninterested in your pain. He's disconnected. He doesn't care. In fact, the Bible says he's near to the brokenhearted. Jesus, we do not have a high priest, according to Hebrews, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in every way that we are tempted, he was tempted in the exact same way, yet without sin. What does that mean? Why? One of the reasons Jesus came to the earth is, yes, to redeem humanity to God, but it was also so that he could have an understanding of what it means to be a person and to be tempted and to feel and experience pain. You might say, well, Jesus didn't experience pain. Every single disciple that he called by name and spent 3.5 years with turned their back on him in the worst moment of his life. You think he didn't feel that? When he was in the garden and he was so bearing the weight of stress that he sweated blood. Do you know how much stress you have to be under for your body to produce blood through your sweat glands? It's an immense amount of stress and pressure. Jesus felt every bit of it. He felt the pain of the nails going in his wrists and going in his feet. He felt the spear in his side, the crown of thorns on his head. He felt the 39 lashes on his back. And you know what else he felt? He felt the people crying out, crucify him. He felt it when Peter looked at him after he had said, I don't know this man. Jesus felt that pain. Why? Because he became the curse that hung on a tree so that we don't have to live in pain. God cares so much about your pain that he sent Jesus to bring healing. He sent Jesus to experience, to redeem you from that curse that you deserve to be on the tree because of the pain you've brought into other people's lives. The pain that you experienced and it made you turn towards sin and turn your heart away from God. But I want you to know you don't have to live in your pain. Because Jesus said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The thief was the devil and he wants to make your life look like this. But Jesus said, I came so that you can have life. I came so that you can have life more abundantly. I don't want you to live in pain. I don't want you to live in insecurity. I don't want you to live in failure. I want you to have life, and I want you to have a blessed and an abundant life. You know, Jesus, when he was on this earth, the book of John says, if we could record all the miracles that he performed, all the books in the world could not fit the amount of miracles that Jesus did. You ever thought about this? Why did Jesus heal lepers? Why did Jesus open blind eyes? Why did Jesus heal lame legs? Why did Jesus look at people and say, your sins are forgiven you? Why did Jesus raise the dead back to life? Because all of those things were someone's version of pain. And Jesus said, I'm here to heal you from your pain. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to bring you back to the place. I learned this from Jeff Hood. Some of y'all remember Jeff. He was a deacon here for a while before he and Linda moved to North Carolina. He asked me a question. He said one time, he said, why do you think Jesus turned water into wine? And I said, I really don't know. He said, to save that family embarrassment. There was no other reason. There was zero other reason to turn water into wine other than the fact that that family would have been the laughingstock of the town for running out of wine at their child's wedding. And Jesus said, I'll turn water into wine so that you don't have to endure that pain, that embarrassment. There was no other reason to do it other than that. So you may say, well, Jesus doesn't care about this pain. It's too insignificant. He cares about every single thing. He came so that you can have life and you can have life more abundantly. He wants you to see clearly and the pain to be gone from your life. I know they said things that marred you, and that's where we get the word marred is from mara, which is bitterness. I know they did things to you that made you bitter, that made you hurt, that made you feel insignificant and insecure. But I'm telling you, the tree that Jesus hung on that was symbolic in the Old Testament of throwing that tree in the water, he can make your life sweet again. He healed people. He released people from bondage into freedom. So God sent Jesus to endure pain, listen to this, so that you don't have to live in pain. Not so you don't have to experience pain, listen to me. You're still gonna experience pain. But Jesus came so that you don't have to live with the pain. People are still gonna hurt you. Your spouse is still gonna say rude things. You're still going to lose somebody one day, unfortunately, because life has to come to an end at some point. The world is going to continue to be crazy and people are going to wax in worse and worse. So I know that pain is always going to be a part of life because sin will always be a part of life. But you don't have to live with it. You don't have to live with your heart riddled with bitterness and with pain and with insecurity and with doubt because Jesus Christ, who was pure and was sinless, he hung on a tree to redeem the world to himself. And he says, if you will allow me to come into your life, you know what I'll do? I'll make it just like you never, ever experienced it. You still have the memories because it makes you better. You'll still know they did that to me, but you know what? I'm not affected the way that I used to be affected. I'm not living with that bitterness and that guile and that heart for revenge. I just want to see them feel bad for what they did to me. It was wrong. It was terrible. Yes, it was. But let love overwhelm your sorrow. Let the goodness of God replace the bitterness with joy so that you don't have to be controlled. Now you say, how? How can that happen? I've already gotten saved. Yes, you've gotten saved when you give your life to Jesus, but you know what you have to choose in your life? Forgiveness. You cannot harbor bitterness in your heart towards somebody and have a clear conscience and a clean heart. It's impossible. As long as you refuse to forgive and refuse to forget, you will live just like this person over here that is not accepted Jesus and chosen. You know what? I'm going to forgive. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you. So if you don't forgive other people for what they did, you can't experience Jesus because you've already signed your own truth into reality by saying, and some people say this, well, I'll forgive them, but I can't forget. I truly believe that if that heart is inside of you, then you have not yet grasped what forgiveness truly is. Because if you forgive them, you won't want to hold it over their head. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, love bears no record of wrong. You say, I want them to pay for it. Guess what? Jesus already paid for it. Isn't it amazing? We want people to pay for something that Jesus already paid for, and we want to accept that in our life, but we want to hold them accountable for it in their life. Jesus paid for all sin, not just your sin, not just the sin of the person next to you. He paid for the sin of the person that is out there doing the most evil, unthinkable thing, and maybe someone did that to you, and we're thinking, I just want them to be held accountable for it, when Jesus paid for their sin just like he paid for your sin. But here's what happens, is once Jesus comes into your life and he truly takes hold of your heart, there may be pain that comes to you, but it won't affect you like it used to. Because this person over here that's still hurt, that's still broken, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a boss, and they have experienced pain after pain after pain after pain after pain, and they can't see clearly, and so because they can't see clearly, they're still going to treat you the same way that they used to treat you, and they're still going to inflict pain because hurt people still hurt people. But you know what? Because you've got Jesus in your life, it doesn't affect you like it used to. Because you have Jesus. And so the pain still comes. It still could be hurtful. But instead of responding in bitterness, you go, I've got the sweetness of the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And I used to would have cussed you out when you cussed me out, but instead I ain't gonna. I could, but I won't. Because I've experienced Jesus, you've abused me, you've hurt me, but I'm gonna respond in love. That's why when Jesus told us, he said, turn the other cheek. This is turning the other cheek. I'm not gonna let it affect me because Jesus is inside of me. And so you don't respond like you used to. Why? Because Jesus has come into your life and you can see clearly now because the pain is gone. And you know what? The person, let's say it was a parent. They treated you so bad and they're just so full of pain. But you've received Jesus and they've been pouring into you, but it doesn't affect you now. You just keep loving them. And you know what will happen? Eventually, you just keep loving, you just keep loving, you just keep loving, you just keep loving. They can experience the same kind of freedom that you're experiencing in your life. And now we can see clearly. Why? The pain's gone. There's no more pain. What God's done in you, he begins to do through you. I want you to see that in your life. If you will truly allow Jesus Christ to change your life and remove the pain, remove the insecurity, remove the hurt, remove the bitterness, and he pours it into you, you can pour it into others. And it's still up to them whether they receive it. It's not magic. This is a trick, okay? But in reality, they still have to choose to forgive as well. But you can see clearly now because the pain isn't swept under the rug. You see, what we want to do in life is when pain comes in our life, and I can't do it now because of how they are. I was going to add this, but when pain comes into our life, what we want to do is we want to take something and we want to hide the pain. That's what we really want to do. We don't want anyone to know. We don't want them to know we were abused. We don't want them to know. The first step to freedom is always admission. Saying, hey, I need freedom. I need help. But the pain, when it comes to walking with God, it doesn't get swept under the rug. It gets dealt with. And I want to end by showing you a passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 that you've probably all heard before at some point in time in your life. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, no matter how much pain they have felt or pain they have given, they're a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, so often we just reduce this to salvation, that if I get saved, all my failures of the past, they're gone away, and I'm a new person. But look at this note I put in here. This passage is not limited to sin committed by you, but it also covers wrongs committed against you. If anyone has Jesus Christ living inside of them, everything that ever happened to you in your life, it still happened, but it doesn't affect you the way that it used to. You don't have to live with that pain. You don't have to live with that bondage. Now you may say, well, I still feel it. I still hurt. I still cry. Listen, there is sorrow. There is grief. There is pain. But you just keep letting God pour into you. You keep going back to the cross. You keep saying, God, I believe in you. I believe that you cleansed me. I believe that you've made me new. I believe you're near to the brokenhearted. I believe that you care. And you keep allowing the word of God to cleanse your life. Psalm chapter 119. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word of God. If you will cling to Jesus Christ, not to church, but to Jesus. Not to religion, but to Jesus. Not to what you've always known, but to Jesus. Let him come in. If you're experiencing pain, you know the cure for pain. You can try. Remember, we try. We try this, we try that. It never works. It always wears off. But if you will allow Jesus to come into your life, he will heal and cure the pain. Because the Bible says, by his stripes, we were healed. He took care of it at the cross. I know you may say, but I still feel it. You'll feel it from time to time. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll walk you through it. That's why David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear any evil. Why? Because you're with me. You may still walk through that. He didn't say he'll lead you around the valley of the shadow of death. He said he'll lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. You'll still experience pain. We'll all still experience loss. We'll experience heartache. But you know what? That pain is manageable, not because of mind over matter, but because I know greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know that Jesus Christ himself experienced betrayal and pain and suffering and ridicule and shame, and he's with me today. And I know that I can put my trust inside of him. So now I can see clearly. I'm not clouded. I'm not going to treat them the way that they treated me. Why? Because I can see clearly. I can see things the way God intends and wants me to see them because the pain's gone. Why is the pain gone? Not because I just decided it was gone, but because I chose forgiveness and because I chose to allow God to make me a new creation and restore me to be Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And listen, the God who healed in the Old Testament and the God who healed in the New Testament is the same God that will heal your heart today from every wound and pain that you have ever encountered or experienced. He's faithful. Amen? Stand to your feet with me today. If you are in a place today like me, and I'll be honest, I told you, none of us are exempt from pain. None of us will ever be exempt from pain. I know you've encountered pain. I know I've experienced pain. Somebody or something has hurt you in some shape, form, or fashion. Do not leave here today without allowing Jesus to fix the problem. Don't leave here with clouded vision. Don't leave here with the insecurity. Don't leave here with bitterness in your life, because if you stay hurt, you know what you'll do? You'll hurt them. You'll hurt your spouse. You'll hurt your children. You'll hurt your coworkers. You'll hurt total strangers because you're dealing out of the hurt. If you're going, when Jesus was teaching one time, he said, you know, don't worry about the speck in your brother's eye. First take care of the plank that's in your eye. What's he saying? Allow me to heal the pain and the things that's blocking and hindering your vision so that you can see clearly. And then when you pour into them, you can help them with the pain that's inside of their life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you want to come find a place in the altar, I can't fix your pain, but God can. I can't heal you. I know that maybe that pastor hurts you. I know that maybe that spouse cheated on you, let you down. I know that maybe that parent wasn't the loving and encouraging person, and they, instead of filling you with love and with security and with confidence, they ridiculed you, they belittled you, they put you down, or they just didn't show you the care that you needed as a young person or even as an adult. Maybe it was on your job. Maybe it was in church. Maybe it was at school. Maybe it was just a total freak accident and nobody did it on purpose. There was a man in the Bible by the name of Mephibosheth. He was the son of Jonathan, David's best friend. And when the kingdom of Saul was being destroyed, a caretaker picked up Mephibosheth and she dropped him and he became lame in both feet. And he lived that way for the rest of his life. And for many years, he couldn't even take care of himself because not of something that he'd done, but because of something that had been done to him. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I encourage you, come find a place in the altar today and let God deal with the pain. where you can see clearly, where you don't have to hurt other people. You don't have to live with the bitterness. You don't have to live with that hurt heart inside of you that is causing difficulty and is causing you to not be able to see things. You're seeing it through the pain of your pain instead of seeing it clearly the way that God intended for you to. You don't have any vision for your future because you can't see past where you are because it's so clouded because of the pain. Let God work in your heart today. Let him offer that forgiveness that can only come through Jesus Christ. I'm not saying you're not saved. You can be saved and still experience pain. I'm saying let God heal your heart today so that he can use you to produce healing in other people. So Father, we ask today that you would be exactly who you have shown us in your word that you are. God, help us to see your faithfulness. Help us to see that even when we experience pain, it doesn't make you unfaithful. It doesn't make you unloving. And I think that that's the problem, is sometimes people hurt us and we blame God for people hurting us. Why did he let this happen? Why did this produce so much hurt and difficulty and sorrow and suffering in my life? It doesn't mean God doesn't love you. He's still there and he's waiting to be Jehovah Rapha. He's saying, just let me in, I'll heal it. I'll fix it. He doesn't remove all pain, but he can fix all pain. He doesn't keep it from happening because he gave us the right to choose and to decide. But he says, if you will decide to choose me, I'll make you clean. I'll make you pure. I'll heal you. Maybe there's someone that you need to forgive today. Make that decision right now. Don't wait. Don't wait, because if you walk out of here today, trust me, the second you walk out, that bitterness will try to jump back on you. That anger, that malice, it'll come back and it'll try to haunt you. Let it go. Nobody wants to live like this. Until we're in a service where we don't want anybody to know that we've got this, and we refuse to respond to the word of God because we'd rather stay like this and no one know than stay like this and become free. Because people knew, you know, they've got pain, they've got hurt. Guess what? So do all of us. I've had pain. I've had hurt. It's nothing to be embarrassed of. It's something to be healed of. So let God heal you today. Father, I pray over your people. And I declare you are Jehovah Rapha, the God who restores, the God who makes us full of health and vigor and life. And Jesus, I thank you that you came so that we could have life and we could have life more abundantly. And so, Father, I'm just proclaiming healing over every hurt, over every pain. I know that it doesn't take away what took place, but it doesn't have to be a burden on our life anymore. And I've been sensing so much over the past few weeks. The reason God led me to speak this word, I've had this word in my heart for a while, but the reason God has released me to speak it today is I've just felt so much pain in people's hearts. I just have such a burden. I don't want you to live in pain because you don't have to. I know that you've been hurt. Guess what? I've been hurt. I've been hurt by friends. I've been hurt by family. I've been hurt by strangers. But you don't have to stay hurt. But if you do, you'll end up hurting other people. So, Father, I just pray that you would do a work in hearts that we can't do. We've tried everything else, but the high wears off, the pain remains until you step on the scene. So we say thank you for going to the cross and purchasing our freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you lift your hands and receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, may lift up his countenance upon you, may keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you, and may you experience the freedom that comes in Christ Jesus, and be healed of the pain as Jehovah Rapha is the Lord of your life. And may the freedom and the healing that you encounter pour into the lives of those that are around you, so that we can be a wellspring of life instead of a stream of death. Because as we sang earlier, we've tasted life and nothing satisfies but Jesus. So let him heal your heart. And I speak a blessing over you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed. Don't forget, we've got the bake sale going on in the back. Thank you for supporting our children. and night of worship tonight at 6 p.m. We hope to see you there.